stop impossible, and He with you, what no other power can do.
Just grateful for the Lord tonight to know that that is the truth. He does. He actually specializes. I like that. He specializes in things thought impossible. He doesn't do things you ordinarily think He would do. He does what you think is impossible, just to prove that it's Him. Let's get right into the Word this night. 2 Thessalonians. Do you have your Bibles with you? If you don't, listen close. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. In the New Testament, quite a ways. You're looking forward there. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're just going to read the first three verses here. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You know, a lot of people have been leaving the message, a lot of people have been questioning this truth that God has sent us that was more vindicated than anything that's hit the world, even more vindicated than Jesus Christ's own ministry. And we wonder why people are falling away. Well, we just read the scripture says there must be a great falling away before this is all said and done. We should not be surprised that people are questioning, people are walking away, people are thinking something's better than Christ. We should be happy because that day shall not come except the great falling away happened first. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's go to verse 51. First Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 51. You there, say amen for me.
Amen.
Almost got everybody. That's okay. I think we're there now. Cole, you got it? Amen, brother. Thank you. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. I want to emphasize that word, must. No questions added. This is a must.
Amen.
And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. My title for tonight is, It Must Be. Three words. It Must Be. Let's bow our heads. If you have any need, again, we just want to make sure that you lift it up to the Lord. Because when I go to preach, I'm not trusting in myself. I'm trusting in the gift of God that He's given to me to give for the people. And if you have a need, just ask Him that He'll speak to you tonight. Heavenly Father, commit this service into Your hands. We've read Your Word. But Lord, without Your unction, it just falls on deaf ears. We just pray that You be able to break right into the hearts of the people. Give us the things that we have need of, even the things we might not even know. I just pray that You would come by, Lord, and help each one. Lord, if they're not Christians, to be Christians. If they are Christians, to be stronger Christians, Lord. And to have greater faith than they had before they walked in here, Lord. I pray that we'd be able to leave out of here with a perfect faith, knowing that we're in You, Lord, that we're going to be in the rapture, and that there's nothing to worry about, Father. We commit this service into Your hands. We're trusting that You'll have Your way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and bow. Go ahead and sit down, please. Have your seats. I just want to start with a little testimony today. I thought this was pretty cute, but kind of amazing at the same time. There's a little youth group at the school. It's called FOG. And I think the name is Following Our God or Finding Our God. Either one, depending on who you are. You know, some people got to find God. Some people are trying to follow God. But it's this little group called FOG, and I went there today. And I remember the leader of it, his name's Connor Hamm, and he invited me to come. He has a few times. said, you know, you really want to come out to this one? I said, well, what do you want me to come out for? He said, because Zach's going to wear a dress. And you know what that did to me? Cut me right here, and I'm like, ugh. And you know, you don't know where they're at in their experience and things, so you don't want to just come down and just kill somebody. So I just, all right, that's fine. And in my heart, I started praying, saying, God, I can't, you know, I can't do that. I can't support something I know is not in that word. And so I was like, well, I'll go anyways, you know, and if I get an opportunity, maybe I'll say something, you know. So I went there today, and I noticed and said, hey, you know, Zach doesn't have a dress on. I'm like, well, that's interesting. I thought he was supposed to have a dress on today. And we walked in there, and Connor started up his little lesson, which actually was very powerful. He made some points as in, you know, we want to be Christians, but we need to die to ourselves so Christ can live in us. And I said, you've been listening to the message, brother? Because that was pretty good. Hey, I'll get to that in a minute. But I was sitting there thinking, I was like, why doesn't Zach have a dress on? And he went through, Connor was going to teach. He said, you know, I kept wrestling. I changed my topic about 4 times. And he said, I even was going to have Zach wear a dress here. And then one of the other kids said, yeah, we started reading Deuteronomy a little bit. And I was like, Deuteronomy 22:5? He's like, yep, that's it. And Zach was like, you know, I was reading the word, and you know, I looked for loopholes, but I just couldn't find one with this. And I went, that's good, but let's just not start looking for loopholes anymore. Let's just stay right on that straight and narrow. We shouldn't be looking for loopholes. A lot of Christians, that's where you get in trouble, looking for loopholes. So I just thought that was amazing that they would catch that. I believe it was for me more than anything, because inside of me, I was ready to tear that to shreds if I walked in there and seen a boy with a dress on. You know, it's bad enough we got to look at women with pants on and try not to say something every minute of our lives. I wouldn't be able to walk by a guy in a dress. I'm sorry, I'd rebuke that one. Hey, man, so I just want to lay that in there. I thought that was pretty good. It must be. As we look at where we are in time, we know Brother Branham said if God would have spanned time out. Listen this morning, or that, not this morning, this evening. I got that in my, I listened to my last sermon, I think I said this morning like 15 times, so I'm going to try not to do that again. Amen. Brother Branham said if you could span out time, he said, and God said you can have whatever time you want to live in. He said, I would have picked this day, the end time, because it's the most glorious time for the church. And what happens is we get our eyes off that, because at the same time of it being the most glorious time to the church, it's the worst time the world has ever seen. Abortion is beyond what we'd ever would have imagined it to be. Divorce rates are skyrocketing, and actually they come down a little bit. Does anybody know why divorce rates are coming down? Because people just stopped getting married. Now they just live in adultery. It's easier to live in fornication and adultery than to have a responsibility. That's what a lot of people have a problem with Christianity. There's a lot of responsibility involved. Even what Connor taught on today at the FOG, his title was Christian soldiers, you know, take arms. Christian soldiers take arms because you got a responsibility. Look, God doesn't give you the Holy Ghost just for you.
Nope.
Yeah, he gives you everlasting life. Yeah, he heals your sick when you need it. But what's eternal life for? Other people. Amen. So I asked you right now, that's a good way to check up. What's your ambitions? Is it all on you? Is it all on your victory? Or is it about other people? When you go to school, when you go to work, do you recognize that those people are lost? And that something needs to change or this is over?
Amen.
You got to take inventory, I think, tonight. I didn't plan on going that route. Maybe we need to a little bit. I have to rebuke myself sometimes. Got to pitch myself a little bit. Go, I'm a little tired. I don't feel like witnessing today. I'm just going to sit at my desk and play on my computer. I've done it. I got a job where you can do that. I'm a school teacher. Just hide right behind that screen. Nobody knows what I'm doing.
Sure.
I could be putting grades in for all they know. I could be doing all this important research. No, sir, I'm sitting there just clicking around, goofing off. Why? Because I'm lazy today. Is that a good witness of Christ? I don't think so. Yeah, I'm preaching on myself today. Maybe somebody else has done that. I know my dad sometimes gets behind the computer just like me. Some of you out in the factory, you don't got that opportunity. You're out building things. But my title tonight is It Must Be. There are certain things that we know must happen in this time. And the first thing I want to do is expel all fear. So let's go to John chapter 6. I want to expel the fear to the church because I think a lot of times we're just afraid. We're afraid of what God has said about us because it's too beyond our thinking that we could be that good. Because you're not the good one. The good one lives in you if you're part of the bride. It's Christ in you.
Sure.
John chapter 6, starting at verse 37. Let's go ahead and get this fear right out right now. Verse 37, all that the Father hath given me, giveth me, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which he hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. It was the Father's will that he would lose nothing. Amen. I say, praise God. Yes. He came down not to destroy the world, but to save the world.
Amen.
Amen. But should raise it up at the last day. And that is this day. Brother Branham, and it is the rising of the sun. He said, paragraph 18. Don't fear anymore, for every foreordained, predestinated seed of God shall come to life when that light spreads across the earth of this glorious gospel. And every age it shall bring forth what God ordains it to do. So if you don't know you have a seed, I'm going to tell you right now, if you are a predestinated seed and you're still out in the world, you better get ready for tough times. Because this is the end. There ain't a lot of time for God to fool around with you.
Amen.
If you're his son, you know, if my son was on about 50 feet from the end of a cataract going to fall down a water hill, I think I'd get a little desperate about getting his attention. That's time to turn around.
Amen.
Right? If he was 5 miles away, yeah, I'd still be saying something, still trying to get there. But when we start getting close to the end, it gets urgency. And people wonder why people are going insane. Why God has let the world around us start falling apart. It's to get our attention. Hey, we're here. This is it. It must be this way. You know, I began to think, can we really be the bride of Christ with as easy as we got it sometimes? Sometimes I say, maybe God does need to take some of these pleasures away from me. So I'll stay focused. Because I fight it all the time. It'd be a lot easier not to get on the internet if you didn't have it. Right? It'd be a lot easier if the only book you had to read was the Bible. If you didn't have all these newspapers, media coming at you in every single direction. It'd be easier to stay focused on the Word of God.
Yeah.
Because all you're getting out of that is negative. You'll never get any of the good stuff. You don't make money off good stuff in the news.
That's right.
You wonder why it's all doom and gloom and all that? Because that's the only way to make money. Money is the root, or the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
So we should expect everything to be driven by money. And it is.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think they're trying to take over the world by religion? You make the most money that way. If you can convince people they'll pay for their soul, they'll do it.
Sure will.
Amen. Let's go through a few examples where God promised something and it had to be that way. I like Moses. Let's go to Acts chapter 7. So if you're not serving God tonight, I would say it's time to get on board before things get real ugly. Brother Branham said when that tribulation starts, he said you would have dreamed of being in the Holocaust. That would have been a nice Sunday's day stroll compared to what this is, what's coming ahead. And we know the only thing holding the judgment off is the bride of Christ. That's it. There's nothing good about the world that God ain't judging it. It's because the bride ain't ready. That's the only reason.
Sure.
Acts chapter 7, starting at verse 20. In which time Moses was born and was exceedingly fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him out of her own son. I want to stop right there. Do we understand why Moses had to do this? It's because the Pharaoh was going to kill him. So right there at his birth, this boy shouldn't even have lived. But God had already promised 400 years before this, I will send and deliver, and Israel will come out. So when that law went out that this baby had to die, God had to intervene somehow because his promise will not be made void. It must be that Moses will be the deliverer.
Yes.
It had to have been. So right there at his birth, when they tried to kill him, couldn't do it. No, sir. Verse 22, sorry. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And he was a full 40 years old, and it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. So right there, he is equipped for this job now, at least in his mind. I've got favor with the Egyptians. I'm a mighty man. I'm ready to be able to do what God called me to do because we know his mother told him from his birth, you're the deliverer, Moses. You're the deliverer.
Amen.
Because they were in bondage. They were getting desperate. She knew, we need to deliver. I'm sick and tired of being here.
Right.
What's the problem in Laodicea? People don't know they're in bondage.
Yeah.
That's why they don't care about getting out.
Amen.
They're comfortable.
Right.
Yeah, you're comfortable until the fire blows up on you and you're dead now. Or when this thing falls and your money's all gone.
Mm-hmm.
Then you thought twice about it. But by that time, we know it's going to be too late.
Sure.
If you're not ready before the tribulation sits in, there ain't no more for you.
Okay.
Mercy's left. Verse 24. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them that strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him aside, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Well, who made him a ruler and judge over them? Right. God did.
Amen.
But why did this happen? Look, his own people don't even believe him now. Looks like the promise of God's going to fall short. Here's the deliverer. He's finally trained. He goes to his brethren. It was in his heart to do it. So he, in his heart, was ready to get Israel out of there.
Amen.
And what happens? Rejection. Where does Moses go after this? 40 years. I know we just bleep right over that. 40 years. My dad was 10 40 years ago. And to think that for 40 years, he left all that he knew he was called to do. He just dropped it, went off in the middle of the wilderness somewhere and married some woman, had children, lived a normal life, we would say. For 40 years. That's a long time.
Sure is.
That's a good amount of time to settle in. That's 16 years longer than I've been alive. Do the math. Now you know how old I am. So all hopes are against Moses being the deliverer. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. But if you go down to verse 35, let's just skip right to there. Because it talks about 40 years of Mount Sinai and all that. Verse 35. This Moses whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. The only thing Moses was lacking, he needed that angel there to get him through. And when that angel, when Moses was ready, God knew he was ready, the people finally got desperate enough because 40 years ago, they were so carnal they couldn't even see their own deliverer. I wonder if that's why we've been sitting here for 50 years now. We've been so carnal about this message. We haven't realized this is the deliverance we've been looking for. This is how we're going to get out of here, is what God has sent us through his prophet.
Sure.
Amen.
Amen.
Coming out of Moses' commission, Brother Branham says, you'll see it. Moses, of course, he didn't want to go. It was hard because he wasn't a good speaker. He wasn't eloquent and so forth. He had many things, slow speech and many... But God had ordained that man to do the job. It must be done.
Amen.
It has to be this way. Moses had to be the deliverer no matter what came against him. And we know what it did. God's word came to pass. Moses was an 80-year-old man with a little stick in his hand. He probably had a beard. Everybody thinks he had a beard down to the ground. Walking up there. And where's he going? Going to Egypt to take over. Now think of how ridiculous this is, Cole. If you saw one man, 80 years old, walk up to the president and say, I'm here to take over. Let the Christians go. All these laws you're trying to make it so they can't do this and this, let them go. What do you think what Obama would do to that man? Get out of my office, Secret Service, take him out right there. Now remember, his Secret Service lot have guns, but you ain't. It must be this way, church. Why? Because they've got to do this. This is a systematic takeover. We know that's how they've done it in all the past. Why are we surprised by this in America? They have to do it again.
Amen.
It was prophesied. Brother Branham said they're trying to bankrupt this nation to take over the world. Because this nation will make an image back to Rome. And when that's done, it's settled. They've got the world under their control.
Sure.
Why? Because they don't even have to be on the front lines. They could conquer by religion. The most powerful way to conquer people. And don't you be religious now either.
Amen.
Look, you can have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. You're heading to hell. Paul said don't even associate with those kind of believers that just have a bunch of lip service and say, oh yeah, I believe, but nothing ever happens.
Right.
We shouldn't pray for 500 people and every one of them die.
Right.
I know Brother Branham said if they did, he said he'd keep praying because the promise of God's still true. But look, how many times did that happen to the prophet? When he prayed for people, results happen. Why? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
It's not that Brother Branham was something special besides the commission God has given us, but God has given us a commission.
Amen.
Just like he did Moses. We're the bride of Christ.
Amen.
I believe the prophet would be part of that as well.
Sure.
We are one body in Christ, and you have a commission.
Amen.
You, the individual, do. But we don't take it serious enough. We think we got to be behind a pulpit to do something for God. Maybe if everybody was here early and praying, it'd be easier for me to preach.
Sure.
I say that to be selfish. I'm just saying facts. Because I know when that atmosphere is here, boy, I don't even got to try no more. It just comes right on out.
Sure.
Amen.
And it starts kicking the devil out before we even get started. And that's what we're here for.
Amen.
Because church, we know the building itself, if you read about the ministry, it says it's for equipping the saints. That's the point of the ministry, equipping the saints. But look, it's all our responsibility to go find people to become saints.
Amen.
We should be all witnessing wherever you are. It don't matter where you go. Don't be afraid.
No way.
He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that or not?
Amen.
That's where it's at.
Uh-huh.
It must be that way. That's what the word said.
Amen.
I will always be with you, even to the end of the world. And that's where we're at. But he said he'd still be there.
Yes,
so
will.
He's still here.
Amen.
Amen. Another man I like to talk about, Samson. Let's go to the book of Judges. Book of Judges. Back in the Old Testament. There. Judges chapter 13. Most people know Samson because he's got a unique story. It's one of the few times where God actually gives somebody something in the natural that's strong. You understand? Most time it was, they had a lot of character, they could spoken word make something happen. But this guy was actually physically strong, and I think that's why a lot of the world knows about the story, because they kind of like that. You know, they like something they can see. But we know that God had it, or that Samson had God's promise. Let's read Judges chapter 13, verse 2. There was a certain man of Zorah in the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. See right there. The woman that this man was supposed to come through is barren. She's not supposed to have children. Okay? And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. There was God's promise right there. I am sending Samson. He shall begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines.
Amen.
We know right there, he shouldn't have been born in the first place. Then we know his condition later, that he was a woman pleaser. That's what got him in trouble all the time. He kept trying to find other kind of women, worldly women. He still had the gift of God in his life.
Amen.
Yet it was hindered because of this besetting sin he had. Wonder how many times that's in the church.
Sure.
We've got the gifts of God here. I believe all nine spiritual gifts are in every group.
Amen.
That's what the prophet taught.
Yes, he did.
So these people that say the gifts are gone, that's a bunch of nonsense. What are we looking to happen then? How's God going to manifest? Give me something out of, what are all nine? Speaking in tongues, interpretation, gifts of healing, prophecy, miracles. What are we looking for outside of that?
That's right.
Come on.
The only I think of is a spoken word. But what is prophecy?
Right.
Praise be to God. What are that? Oh, it just baffles me. I can't stand when people take the message and they twist it and make it say something it didn't say.
Sure.
And then they try to say it's a prophet taught that. No, sir. Brother Ray never said the gifts were going to leave before the bride did. No, sir. He said that they were the jewels on the bride.
Amen.
They were make the bride look beautiful. The
Amen.
Gifts of the Spirit.
Yes.
And look, don't ever be afraid to speak in tongues in here. All right? Don't be afraid to prophesy or to lay your hands on somebody with a gift of healing. Or a gift of faith. I don't care. I want to see God manifested, not in just the preacher, in the people.
Amen.
There's one body, one Lord, one baptism, one spirit that's in every one of us.
Yes, sir.
Samson was sent to deliver Israel. Everything was going against it. And then I go to Judges chapter 15. Samson has victories here, here, and here, and here. And then he comes to this story. Judges 15, starting at verse 9. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, Why are you come up against us? And they answered, To bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson, Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? The people didn't want to be free. The deliverer standing right there. He's already given them victories. And they look him right in the face and said, Don't you know that the Philistines are rulers over us? What was the promise of God? Samson shall deliver Israel.
Amen.
And it appears the own people that he is coming to deliver in his face said, Don't you know that we are servants to the Philistines? What do you think Samson felt like? I'm here to save you and now you don't want me. Mm-hmm. Sounds like somebody else, doesn't it?
Sure.
Jesus Christ came not for himself. He was the Lord of glory. I think he was doing just fine up there by himself. I don't think he had no troubles. Why did he come down here? For you.
Amen.
Because your soul was lost. Now, what did he see down in there? That predestinated seed. Because he knew there'd be an elect in this last day. And that's why the atonement had to be still here all the way to the end.
Amen.
That's why he couldn't leave until it was over.
Right.
Like we read earlier, all that the Father has given me, I shall lose none of it.
That's right.
Verse 11, the second half there. And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them. And they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves. Again, imagine what he's feeling. Wait a minute. You're going to now, not only are you coming against me, you want to bind me and kill me. Sounds like somebody else, doesn't it? They took Christ. He said he came unto his own, and his own received him not.
That's right.
The people he's trying to save are the ones that captured him. He said, swear unto me that you won't bind them. Verse 13, and they spake unto him, and saying, no, but we will bind thee fast, and deliver into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords, and brought him up from the rock. Look, Samson could have broke those cords. We know he did it later. He let him do it. Again, sounds like somebody else, doesn't it? Jesus said, remember, Peter tried to cut that soldier's ear off. What did Jesus say? Don't you know I can call 12 legions of angels? Is it 12 or is it 10? Does anybody? It's one of those. I know a legion's like 3,000 to 6,000. I think one of them could have changed the scene. And he's saying, I got 70,000 angels I can bring on this scene. You don't think I can do something about this? He went up to the cross willingly.
Amen.
Why? For you.
Amen.
For me.
Amen.
For his body.
Amen.
Verse 14. And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arm became as flax that were burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps. The jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. Can you really picture this? This is so hard for me to see this. We know Samson wasn't some big, muscly man. That wouldn't be supernatural. He's some little scrawny guy. I want to say he was probably Cole-sized, but I didn't want to defend him. He was probably Cole-sized, but he could take bars that they gave the whole city with, and he picked them up on his back and walked who knows how many miles with them. And here he comes against 1,000 people. 1,000! That's more than everybody at the high school. Coming against one little scrawny guy out in the middle of a field somewhere because he didn't have no weapons, and he finds some little jawbone. Like Brother Branham said, you can take that jawbone, throw it on the ground, and shatter it to pieces. This was different though, because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and the Lord don't lose.
Amen.
And the Lord remembered his promise that Samson shall deliver Israel.
Amen.
And even though Israel don't want it, it's still going to happen. It must be.
Yes, amen.
So when these 1,000 trained soldiers, covered in armor, soldiers, all right? And here's this guy with a jawbone. And he takes 1,000 of them out. 1,000. We think this stuff's cool in the movies with their special effects. Who knows what Samson was doing? What do you do to a guy? He'd have to kill him instantly. How can you swing 1,000 times and keep your strength? I don't think I could. That's if he killed everyone with one hit.
Right. Amen.
Right. You don't think that would have bum rushed him? I'm sure after the first guy got knocked out, they kind of got a little, well, I don't know about this. You first, buddy. I'll come behind you. And he says heaps upon heaps, because that's what it would have looked like. Put 1,000 corpses in one area. Heaps upon heaps with the jawbone of a mule. I have killed them all. Why? Because of God's promise before it even got there.
Amen.
It had to be that way.
Right.
And we could go through all the examples. King David's a good one. King David was under Saul, we know, the king at the time. And when David started slaying 10,000s and Saul only his 1,000s, Saul got jealous about it and wanted to kill David. Chased him down. What happened? God had taken the kingdom away, went and anointed David long before he ever sat on the throne.
That's true, amen.
The second, was it Nathan the prophet? No, it was us. Samuel. There we go. Samuel anointed David to be king. From that moment, in God's eyes, David's going to be king.
Amen.
And in one sense, he was the king already. God had already been stripping the kingdom from Saul. From that moment on, David grew. Saul was getting less the whole time. Saul chased him down everywhere he went trying to kill that man. And David had his chances to kill him back and he wouldn't do it. Why? Because he had faith in what God had said.
Amen.
I don't need to kill Saul. God said I would be king. I say the same for us. I want to be the bride. I got to try. I got to do this. Whoa, whoa. Who said you're the bride? Christ did.
Amen.
Well, how do you know that? Whosoever shall believe in him.
Amen.
I put my name there because I believe in him. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. So I asked you, down in your heart, do you love Christ?
Amen.
If you do, what does that prove?
Sure.
He had to love you first.
Amen.
If you can love him, it just proves he had to love you first. Because you wouldn't have been able to do it. No matter what happens. Go to the children of Israel again. They were with God. They saw his miracles. They saw him part the Red Sea. And they didn't believe. They never loved it. It didn't matter what happened. They were blind. Pharisees were the same way. They saw Lazarus raised 4 days dead. How can you doubt that? How could you doubt that? It's in the obituaries. It's already came out in the paper. This guy's gone. And somebody says, wait, he's back.
Yeah.
4 days. That's a long time. Nobody thinks about raising the dead. I've thought about that many times when I see somebody pass. They're like, well, he died 2 days ago. I go, who cares? Jesus did it 4 days. Is he the same today as he was then? I believe he is.
Amen.
It's not our power. It's not our might. By his spirit, these things are possible.
Yes, they are.
Now let's bring it down to us. Out of the rising of the sun. Paragraph 88. You don't say, well, I hope I make it. There's 99.99% of Christianity right there. Well, I hope I do. You know, I'm a pretty good person. I don't do nobody no harm. Remember Brother Branham said that statue of Ferdinand? He said he might be a good neighbor, but he ain't a Christian until he's born again.
That's right. Amen.
You say, well, I hope I made it. Brother Branham says, you've already made it.
Amen.
Not, I will make it. I've already made it. Amen. I never made it. He made it for me.
Amen.
Woo!
All right.
Come on. Yes. He made it for me. Not me, him. Well, Brother Branham, they say, I don't care what they say. There, he made it for me. That's all I want. That's all I'm caring about. I just want to see him manifested.
Yes.
How do you do it? Brother Branham says, call him down. Now look, I believe in having a good atmosphere, all right? I believe in setting that up. That's just water. If there ain't no Christ in here, don't do no good.
Right.
You're just anointed one at the end time. Heading for hell just like Judas did. But if Christ be in here, he says, how do you manifest him? How do you do it? Calm him down? No, he's in you.
Amen.
See, he's in you. Well then, Lord, if I can get myself out of the way, you can manifest yourself. How can you do it? Because you're ordained. Because you, talking about the Lord, because you ordained it so. That's why it's this way. Because the foolishness of God is better than the wisdom of men. It seems kind of foolish to touch a bunch of sinners with your gospel.
Right.
It seems kind of foolish to put Peter as the head of your church.
Sure.
He's all blowing up a bunch of hot air, cutting people's ears off, doubting him on the water when he's walking. And God says, here's the keys, Peter.
Yeah. Amen.
The foolishness of God was wiser than the wisdom of those Pharisees.
Amen.
That man, we know when he was born again, it wasn't the same Peter no more. It was Christ in Peter now.
Amen.
And we know by predestination he was always there.
Yes, he was.
You have to identify that. As we said Wednesday, you have to know you're the elect.
Amen.
You have to know it. That's how you can enter into these things. I'm not trying to make it. I've already made it.
Amen.
How do you know that? You've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Your life is his life.
Glory to God.
Your old carnal nature died. The old man reckoned him dead, Brother Kent.
Amen.
Reckon Christ alive.
Yes,
now if he ain't dead, it's time to do something about that.
Amen.
You say, what can I do? Die.
Amen.
You know, is it too hard to commit suicide? Not if you don't think about it. I say the same in the natural. It's not too hard to die yourself if you just realize the benefits of it.
Amen.
That God wants to bless you so much more than you can even think to bless yourself. God says, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Don't you know if you'll just give that little 10%, that little bit of temporal money, and a little bit of offering. Give one more penny, right? Give an offering. I will bless you a blessing you can't even contain.
That's right.
Put your faith in the Word. You don't got to worry about those things. That I will make it. I've already made it. It must be this way.
Right.
Why? Because he's already done it.
Amen.
Only one true living God. 1951. This is when Brother Branham's getting ready to pray for people. It says, if you're looking for holy hands tonight, Where would you find them? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But, oh Father, thy word is determined and it must be fulfilled. Amen. He never said that you deserve to lay your hands on the sick and your holiness is what's going to heal them.
Nope.
What did he say? These signs fall in that belief. In my name shall I cast out devils. They shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. That is his word. It must be fulfilled. And Brother Branham says, grant tonight, today and tonight, that the words that I've spoke concerning the angel of the Lord in these nights past, that it may be confirmed tonight. And I say the same thing about the word. Are we giving God enough chance to vindicate his own word? Are we too busy? Are we worried about other things? Are we getting distracted by any little thing that Satan puts in front of you? It can be so simple. You have to concentrate, especially when the word's coming forth.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
The rising of the sun. There's been churches, brides, but there's got to come one. Hallelujah. There's got to come a real bride. And that's why Brother Bear said it'd be a paradox that this is going to happen. But I believe it. Why? God said it would be there.
Amen.
It has to be in this age.
Must be.
The bride is not going to be some collective group that gathers somewhere and they're the bride. It's the individuals. You have to know you're the part of the bride. If there's only two people, or we'll say there's one person in this city that's going to make it. Make it you.
Amen.
Don't worry about your neighbor. What does the Bible say? You compare yourselves by yourselves. You're not wise.
Amen.
Don't worry about the other guy. What about you?
Amen.
Do you love the Lord with all your heart, or do you love the things of the world more?
Sure.
It's that easy. Because the Bible says, if you love the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So you can't claim both. You must die to that to be married to Christ. You can't have two husbands at the same time in a legal marriage. You can't be married to the world and married to Christ at the same time. That's adultery. You think Christ is going to marry an adulterer? No, sir. You might try to marry him, but he ain't going to marry you. You're filthy. You're a sinner. You say, well, then how can I marry God? I know I'm a sinner. Get born again. God don't look at you no more.
Amen.
He's looking at himself that he placed in you before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And the blood has broke the sin curse so that God can see right into the soul what he planted, what is the part of him. And it was always in you if you've been born again. The elect are the only ones who can be born again.
That's right.
That's thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
That's the only way to go. If you're not born again, you ain't going to be there. If you are, you're predestinated. You have to be there.
Amen.
It must be.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
There's true. Got to come a real bride. There must come one that's not only got the mechanics. We got a lot of brides that got the mechanics. We're supposed to preach this long, sing this long, pray this way. Carry my Bible just like this. Make sure I got a stack of message books in my house when anybody walks in so they think I've been reading them when they got dust all over them. I think it's a shame, church. God has given us the greatest message that ever hit the earth. And what do we do with it most of the time? Let it collect dust. And you know, we're all guilty of it. I know I have been. By praise God, lately I've been just getting into that word. My, if you just we just knew what this prophet brought us.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, just take all the doubt, all the fear, everything out of it. Say, be so powerless. When the church gets a true revelation of who she is and what she stands for, she'll be an invincible army.
Amen.
Now, I just reading it, you know it's got to be that way.
Amen.
There's got to come one that's not only got the mechanics, but the dynamics of it. Make that church live. Move in the power of his resurrection until we come to that place. Until we come to that place, what good does it do to polish the hubs? He's talking about a car. If there's no spark, I got a car with a dead battery. I don't care. Come polish my hubs. It's worthless right now.
Right.
They don't do me no good. Why? It won't run. It's the same with the church service.
Right.
If there's no dynamic power of the Holy Ghost, what are we wasting our time? Go be a Baptist. They got pretty good sermons too. Amen.
Yeah.
What's the difference? The life.
Amen. Amen.
The message is not a denomination with better doctrine.
Right.
No, sir. It is literally the life of Christ back in the church.
Amen.
If we could only go back and realize what it was before those seals were opened.
Amen.
You can read that book of Revelation. It just blow your mind away. Now we read it and we think this is some Sunday story because it's so easy to understand now. It wasn't that way for 2,000 years.
Amen.
Why did God do that? That we would be ready to go home.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
it must be this way. There's got to be dynamics in the church. You say, brother,
Brother Andrew, what are the dynamics? That God is visible amongst his people.
Amen.
Remember, there came a place where they said they couldn't say no thing about it because they knew a mighty miracle had been done.
Mm-hmm.
I've got witnesses at my school, people that know, that I've laid hands on, they got well, and I made them testify right there, right when it happened. So that way, no way they could doubt it later.
Right.
And they might not agree, they might not understand this stuff, but they know one thing, said, I know I got healed when that happened. Came tonight, they saw it happen. That's the dynamics.
Yes, amen.
Look, we need to do the first works before we ever do greater works.
Amen.
If you're not laying your hands on the second, then recovering, why are you looking for spoken word?
Sure.
Do the first works. Remember what he said to the church of Ephesus? He says, go back and do the first works.
Amen.
Then those greater works will slide right in there, just like the prophet.
Amen.
It's the same thing. We got to follow. It's the same ministry all the time. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It must be that way.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He doesn't change. Rising of the Sun, paragraph 31. We put too much stress on the mechanics and nothing on the dynamics. It's like, Brother Brandon, were you looking 50 years ahead of the times? That's what the problem of the message right now is. Don't cut your hair. Make sure you wear dresses. Don't be cussing. Don't be drinking. Don't be doing this, doing that, all this. That, and those are good things, but they're mechanics. Get the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Get the dynamics.
Amen.
Mechanics start falling right in line.
Sure.
Why? Because it's not a lifeless car that we are. It's a literal life.
Amen.
You take a seed and plant it. You don't got to go find something else. It'll produce itself. Feed the thing.
Amen.
Remember the Cherokee said, I got, since you've been born again, chief. He said, what did you learn? He said, I got a white dog, I got a black dog.
Mm-hmm.
He said, which one wins, chief? The one chief feeds the most.
Amen. Amen.
You wonder why sin takes dominion? Do you feed sin or do you feed the word?
Amen.
You wonder why the sin takes dominion? You don't even feed it. He's starving to death. If you were starving to death in the natural, you'd go find some food right now.
Right.
People starving the spiritual and don't care. Why? They're deceived. The book of, we know the Laodicean condition is that they're blind, wretched, naked, and don't know it. The worst deception is self-deception because nobody can talk you out of it.
Right, amen.
You'll trust yourself. As I said before, you'll trust yourself more than anybody else unless you're born again.
Amen.
Then you realize, my thoughts are a bunch of garbage. Give me the thoughts that's in this word.
Amen.
See, when this word becomes a thought in me,
amen,
that's God.
Yeah.
Amen.
When he gives you a supernatural thought, it's because you can do it.
Amen.
Not because of your merit.
Nope.
He's already paid the price.
He did.
These sons, follow them that believe. Don't be afraid of devils. They'll come right out.
Yes, sir.
If you know who you are.
Every time.
Yes.
Tell me one time the devil gave Jesus a hard time. No, a lot of people say that, like, you know, we pray for the sick, but God won't heal every time. You know, he's got to make sure you stay humble, you know, because it might not work all the time. It's funny, I read my Bible, and the disciples one time had an epileptic boy. It came up and they couldn't cast it out. I don't remember Jesus saying, it's all right, boys, you know. You just need to pray up a little bit more. I'm just keeping you humble so that you know you can't always do it. No, sir, what'd he say? How long must I suffer with you?
Amen. Amen.
So why couldn't we do it? You don't believe. He said, your unbelief is why it didn't happen. So bring him here. It was a 2-minute conversation for Jesus.
Sure.
Get out.
Amen.
Guess what he did? He took his flight.
Amen.
What's the only thing that's hindering the church? Faith.
Amen.
Not the power. Look, the disciples had the power then without even having the Holy Ghost. Why? They had the seed of God.
Amen.
Why do you think Moses could split the Red Sea? Why do you think Joshua could stop the sun without the Holy Ghost?
That's right.
Because they had the representation of God in them.
Yes.
They just could not come free.
Right.
And imagine if it was the same today. Imagine why your faith would struggle. I know I would. If you went to the altar and said, oh God, I'm a sinner, I'm sorry, Lord. You gave your offering, and then you walked out and wanted to do it again.
Right.
Remember, the desire of sin didn't leave in the Old Testament. When David repented of his adultery with Bathsheba, he wanted to go out and commit adultery still. That desire was still there, but not in this age.
Amen.
Not since the Holy Ghost was poured out. He gave us the power to destroy all conscience of sin.
Amen.
All desire of sin. That's how you know if you're born again. When you get down on the inside of the inside and you go, I don't want to sin. I hate this wretch that I am. I hate when I made that mistake. I didn't want to do that.
Amen, amen, amen.
But when you just compromise with it and go, oh, here's, you know, you know, we're triune being, you know, I got the flesh, and you know, that's just my besetting sin. No, sir. Not the bride of Christ now.
No, sir.
You might make a good church member, but you won't make a good bride of Christ.
Amen.
Remember what he said about the church at Pentecost had the victory from the beginning to the end.
Uh-huh.
The bride should be the same way. Well, we put too much stress on the mechanics, nothing on the dynamics. It needs the dynamic power of God, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ upon the church to manifest and to bring past that this is gasoline. You know, you could fill a car up, and he talks about it here. He said it might be in a gasoline can, it could still be water. But the proof of it is the life on it. And it'll prove whether it's gasoline or not. You take a chug, or, you know, those gas cans, fill it with water, you know, you go to pick it up, hey, that feels like there's gas in there. How do you find out? Throw a match in there one time. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Welcome to a lot of churches right there. Fire of God comes down. We throw in the church. Hey, this thing's supposed to take off. Nothing happens. Because what happens? We throw a match in just water. Gone. Throw it on a can of gas one time. Well, you better run, buddy. You better get in the fire or get out because you're going to die. You know, when you watch a fire, that's one of the most peaceful things in the world, isn't it? Just kick back. Look at a flame. Get in a fire one time. Woo! Woo! That's what a lot of church services are like. A lot of people are watching the Holy Ghost fall and go, oh, man. Look at that brother getting a victory. Oh, that's just great. That's just lovely. Hey, we're not supposed to be sideliners. We're supposed to be in the fire because the Holy Ghost is fire.
Yes.
Remember when they tried to burn the three Hebrew children in the fire? They couldn't do it because the Holy Ghost himself is fire. When that fourth man came down, he put an eternal fire around them that natural fire couldn't do nothing to them on. They didn't even smell like smoke coming out of them.
Right.
Glory to God. Whew. And even like that, you know, they said that even if God doesn't deliver us, we won't bow to your image. But if you read earlier, they said he will deliver us. So they must be this way. God ain't going to let us die in that flame. But why did they say that? They said, we don't even care if we had to die here. We're not going to, because God's already said it. But even if we had to, we'd do it anyways. We're not worshiping the devil. I say it's the same with the bride. He's already promised you ain't going to die.
Hallelujah.
He's already promised he's giving you a rapture. But even if you had to, even if they said they're going to torture you and flay you, you're going to go worship the devil? No, sir. I'll serve God anyways.
Amen.
Even though he's promised me heaven. I love him too much. I don't even care if he sent me to hell. I love him so much. If that's his will, I want to do it. That's how much we got to fall in love with him. And we got to fall in love with each other. Look, Moses could stand in the gap for the children of Israel. He loved them so much. A bunch of people that hated him. A bunch of people that didn't like him. And he said, God, don't destroy me before you destroy them. Why was that? Christ was in Moses. Before the Holy Ghost fell. Why? By the predestinated seed of God that's been in the bride from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation.
Amen.
It's the same life. How could Brother Branham say that God was manifested in flesh in Melchizedek and then God was manifested in flesh in Jesus Christ if they're not the same person?
Right.
That'd be two gods.
That's right.
The Bible says ye are gods and all children of the Most High. If we take that way, it sounds like polytheist, don't it? We're all gods. We got a million, billion gods. No, it's the same God that was in Christ is in me.
Amen.
It's one God. Amen.
Glory to Jesus.
It must be this way. So what I want to give to the church now is let's wait for it. Not get all worried. Now look, when I mean wait, I mean scripturally wait. Which means don't drag your feet on God, but don't go running up ahead of him either. A lot of people are trying to manufacture the bride coming of Christ. You don't need to manufacture it. Just love God, pray without ceasing, stay in fellowship with him. These things just start happening. When I realized that I could do nothing in my own power and I was completely dependent on him, and that's how I saw every time to testify of him. But when he gave me those thoughts, I learned, listen, just listen. And here it comes. God started manifesting these things. A year ago, I'd never spoken tongues, never prophesied, never interpreted, never really seen a miracle as far as healing and stuff. And since then, it's just exploded. Why? Because it's the end time. We've just been waiting on by faith. Let me say, I don't want to use the word wait. I want to use the word patience. There we go. That a little bit better? A little bit more what I'm trying to get to. We don't got to wait on, oh no, you know, God hasn't given us the power. Yes, he has. He will manifest it if you walk with him.
Yes, you know.
Just in perfect faith. The Bible says in Micah 7:7, let me just read this. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me.
Amen.
So when you take any promise of God, don't let it go. Because that just proves you never had faith in the first place.
Right.
But if you ask God something, he said, anything you desire, pray. If my words abide in you and you in me, ask what you will and it shall be given.
It must be. Amen.
It must be that way. Yes. Thank you, Dad. God will hear me. Amen. Not only we got to wait for it, we got to watch for it. Look for the signs of the times. If you can't see the signs of the times now, you're spiritually blind, dumb, deaf. You don't got no senses in the spirit if you can't see that the end of the world's coming. I mean, when they're coming out movies left and right about it and all these predictions and all this stuff. Look, there's no specific date that was set, and that's why God did it, because there's this cool numerical thing he came up with, and that's why he picked the day of the rapture. No, sir. What happened? Justin, when's your birthday?
April 26th.
Why is that your birthday? Huh? Did he have a due date before he was born? Right? We got some signs kind of give us an area of time when he's going to be born. But when was the real time he got his birthday? Was the day he was born. Why did God pick that particular day for the rapture? That's when the church was ready.
Amen.
Had nothing to do about the day or the hour. He said none of those. He said there was no significance to it. He said it's a day you don't think of. It's an hour you won't think of. It's the day the bride's ready.
Amen.
And if you're not converted, we might be waiting on you. Amen. And if you are, and you're still down, you're ready to do the bride or not, and you're just in Laodicea, and you think you're just serving sin, we're still waiting on you. Amen. And if I'm that way, you're waiting on me. Pray for me. Because I think every child of God fights being servancy once or twice a day. Saying, don't let me go with that. See what you did there, boy? Oh, man, yeah, no. No, 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 no. Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. You know I didn't mean to do that.
Amen.
Move on in faith. Watch for it. Jesus said, watch and pray. Now, don't just watch. Pray. Watch, pray. That doesn't mean pray with one eye open now. That means watch the signs of the times. Watch what God is doing and watch what the devil is doing. And stay in prayer. Amen. Wait for it. Watch it. My favorite, rest for it. Look, there's nothing to be worked up about. Perfect faith kicks out all the little emotions that come and try to stir something. Oh man, I got to do this. No. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. And I'll wrap up soon. That's only if you keep pulling. You know, if you stop pulling, I might just have to drag it out. And you know, we're all here all night. And I want to see him glorify church. I don't come here to see me talk. I come because I know God is real. He will vindicate his word if you'll believe it.
Amen.
Hebrews 4, starting at verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. How many of you think God was all worked up on the seventh day? I don't know if my creation is going to be able to hold out. Oh man, I don't know if I did it right. He's God. Right? It was fine. He did the church the same way now.
Amen.
Seventh church age, he ain't worried about it. Amen. Oh yeah, it's going to Laodicea. Yeah, I know, but I know what I put in that bride. She can handle it. She got the Laodicea tag. Laodicea overcomer.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Amen.
Verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein. There has to be a group coming to this rest. And they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. That's it. That's your battle. Faith versus unbelief. It's not good works versus bad works. That's religion. It's faith versus unbelief. I know what the Bible said about me. That's what I believe is me.
Amen.
Not the guy I see in the mirror. He's my enemy. I hate that guy.
Amen.
He's got all kinds of desires I don't want.
Amen.
He needs to be changed.
Amen.
Amen. But that guy on the inside, that's who I'm resting in. That's who I believe I am. I believe I'm a part of Christ.
Amen.
From the foundation of the world. The game's rigged. Amen. Verse 6. And they too must first preach enter not in because of unbelief. 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Whose fault is it then if you can't get rest?
Amen.
It's your own. Because he said, today. Which is present tense. Which means always now.
Amen.
And that's what eternity is. Look, there ain't no tomorrow in eternity. There ain't no yesterday. It's all right now.
Amen.
What you did 5 years ago is just as real to God as what you're doing tonight. Because in Him, it's already laid out. He knows from beginning to end. He knows whether you're going to accept Him or not. But today, if you'll hear His voice, don't harden your hearts. Don't think it's Brother Andrew picking on you, trying to get you whatever. No, it's God wanting His bride ready. And you can be in whosoever will. Let him come and drink of the water of life.
Amen.
The Spirit and the bride say, come. I believe I got the Spirit. I believe I'm part of the bride. So I'm saying, come to the waters.
Amen.
They're free. Amen. He paid the price so we could have living water again.
That's right.
That we wouldn't have to be in bondage to sin. We wouldn't have to be bondage to self. We can be free in Christ.
Amen.
Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus, and this is speaking of Joshua. Joshua and Jesus is the same name in different languages. If Jesus had given them rest, then He would not afterwards have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into His rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from His.
Amen.
Oh, I love that.
That's good.
I love that. You're not doing your own works no more. Jesus said the Son can do nothing in Himself, but what He sees the Father do, that doeth the Son likewise. It's the same with us. What's the Father? He's the Spirit of God in you. You don't have to go work up some thoughts and stuff. They will come
right
when you need them.
Amen.
So take no thought.
That's good. That's
right?
Amen.
Don't worry about it. That's what He's saying. There's a rest for the people of God. That's better than what they had when Joshua walked into Jericho. Now it's pretty good. Hey, these walls coming down, boy, those people are afraid of us. They weren't worried about dying. No, sir, but what's wrong with the bride? We don't believe who we are.
Amen.
That's what will hinder us. It's all because of unbelief. That's it, church. Unbelief versus faith.
Amen.
Now, I could go through the book of Revelation. Let me just read a few of these real quick, okay? You can just follow along. But when the word must showed up in the book of Revelation, I like that a lot. For Revelations 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Proves right there the book of Revelation was prophecy. He says these things will come to pass. So God already lined it up there in the book of Revelation. It's right there for you. Don't got to find tomorrow's news. It's right there in the book of Revelation.
Amen.
Revelation 4:1, speaking of the rapture, says that after this I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard, that first voice, was as it were a trumpet talking to me, saying, come up hither, and I will show these things which must be hereafter.
Amen.
What do you think the prophet did when those seals were open? He was up in another dimension somewhere,
right,
where he could see, this is what's going to happen.
Yes.
And I believe John the Revelator had that. He just didn't have the revelation. Let me clarify that. I believe he knew what he was going to write. Remember, he took the pen, he was going to write down those seals, and God said, don't do it. It'll be for the end time.
Yes.
Now, Brother Branham says those seals were already in there. It's just the revelation had to be unlocked in this hour. We don't add to the word. Brother Branham didn't add to the word. It only brought out what was in it the whole time. Those seals were always there. But, you know, John the Revelator couldn't say, oh, you know, John Wesley's going to come. You didn't know who John Wesley was. And Martin Luther's going to come here. I don't know who that is. Right? Those seals revealed there. But Brother Branham, when it was brought to the end time, could be able to look back into history and say, look, it's hit every time. So it's got to hit the rest of this. It must be this way.
Amen.
Revelation 10, we know what it says, the voice of the seventh angel, but I want to read the rest of it real quick. Verse 8. The voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go, take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it. You say, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Give it to me, Lord. Is that what? That's what John said to the angel. The angel said, you take it.
Amen.
I've already given it to you. You must take it now. Here, Dad, you can have this. Wait. Do you want me to give it to you? That's what he said, right? No, take it from me. There you go. It's yours now. That's all you got to do. What do you need? A hand of faith to grab this and say, this is mine. Now, look. The angel kept people from it before, but now he's wanting us to take it.
Amen.
The unjust judge didn't want to give the woman her request, but how much more? God wants you to ask him that your joy may be full.
Amen.
If you don't have joy, it's your fault. If you don't have peace, it's your fault. If you don't know you're saved, it's your fault.
Yes.
Amen. Because if you've entered into it, it must be this way.
Amen.
And I took the book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Brother Branham said that this is when John, the prophet, and the Word became one. Amen. And the bride has to become one with the Word, just like the prophet did.
Yes.
And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. It must be this way.
Yes.
This will happen.
Yes, it will.
Amen. Goes on. I'm just going to skip ahead. There's one last point I want to make here. On the start of it must be this way. Revelations 20. Let's read this together. I'm going to finish up here in probably next 10 minutes or so. Revelations 20. Revelations 20, first three verses. And I saw an angel come down from heaven. Excuse me. Here we go. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, until 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season.
Amen.
Hmm.
Amen.
So the angel comes down and binds Satan 1,000 years. We know that, right? The millennial reign. But what does it say at the end there? He must be loosed. Why? It's pretty good that Satan was bound, right? Millennium was pretty nice. And the millennium is going to be way better than this. I'll tell you that right now. This is not the millennium. Somebody tries to tell you that, you go ahead and put that in the garbage. This is terrible if this is the millennium. The millennium will not be like this. But you wait till that New Jerusalem comes down. Woo! We don't think the millennium was good. Wait till that shows up. Oh, my. A building that He prepared for us.
Amen.
Said, a body hast thou prepared me. Like I said before, a body where we don't have to worry about our own thoughts. We don't get tired. We don't get fatigued. We don't want to do anything but praise God and love Him and be in love with one another. That's where I want to be. Why must Satan be loosed? Hebrews 2:14. Listen closely. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Look, God don't want Satan just bound. He wants him destroyed. It's the same in your life. You can bind Satan for a little while, but if you don't get it out of here, it'll come right back every time, because all you did was bind him. It's just like weeds. When you take weeds and they come up and you just want to chop them down, yeah, they disappear. You can't see them no more. They're hiding in the grass a little bit. Give it one rain. What's the first thing that comes up? That weed will come up like nothing. What do you got to do? You got to grab that weed, pull it right out. Go burn it in the fire. Then it's gone. It's the same with Satan. It was good that Satan had bound him 1,000 years. It wasn't good enough for God, though. His word declared that when he died on the cross, the purpose was to destroy him that had the power of death. That is, the devil. So it wasn't good enough to just bind him. He wanted him destroyed. Because when that new heavens, new earth, when that new world comes down, oh my, there won't be no thought of sin no more. It'll be like it was when God had, he had it all in his mind before anything ever got here. Perfect. Amen.
Amen.
Isaiah 25:8. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall be taken away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. There won't be no people over there getting on Christians. I'll tell you that right now. Because we'll be all Christians.
Amen.
Praise his name. Let's go back to my opening text to finish this up. 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Do you believe that?
Yes.
But there's no way the entire bride of Christ will be dead when the rapture happens. And you always claim to be in the rapture. God takes you off, you're still in the rapture. You're already in the not the glorified body. What am I thinking of? Theophany. You're already in the theophany. You'll come back and get your glorified body. But there's a group that's going to be here that's going to cheat death. It says, behold, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be all be changed in a moment. See, why are people trying to plan for a moment? This is going to happen so fast. The twinkling of an eye. Not even a blink. Blink's pretty fast. Twinkle, I just saw a couple. It just happened right there with the light. That was so fast I couldn't even see it. That's how fast this is going to take place. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on corruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So this isn't even fulfilled until it happens in us.
Amen.
He destroyed the devil on the cross, potentially. But when is he going to do it in the natural? Through you. Because there'll be a group of people that the devil can't even put death on.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but that excites me.
Yes.
To think that one day I'm going to be strolling along, and all of a sudden I'm going to look and go, hey, I don't got any scars anymore, Brother Tom. And I'm going to realize, hey, I don't have this vest on. I got a white robe. My hair is supposed to grow out. So Brother Branham said, be down here about my shoulders. I'll look around and go, it was right here the whole time. I didn't realize heaven was right here on earth. But Branham says it's just a different dimension. It's right here. It says just a little bit faster. And said they proved that when... Einstein said if you could go fast enough, you could go millions and millions of light years away and come back, it'd be 50 years. Why? Because you're moving so fast, you eventually get into eternity where time has no effect. I can't wait to not have to worry about what that clock says right now. I can't wait to not have to think about work in the morning. I can't wait to where it's all right now. Now look, this is it. It must be this way. You're one of two groups. Either you what I just read, and this is the most glorious time it's ever been, or you're part of the falling away that must happen. Amen. This will become the minority. Don't be surprised if you're the only one. Like Brother Brent said, there's one in Nay, one in Defiance, one in Sherwood. It come down to that very fast. But you be that one.
Amen.
Let's stand. I know what song was. Wasn't looking at me. I don't know, I just lost it. Two twenty-seven. Play that quiet. Let's bow our heads tonight. Now, I preached a very glorious and yet a very strong message at the same time. It just depends where you're at right now. And I want you to evaluate yourself. Go ahead and let's all bow our heads and we'll do a word of prayer here in a minute. Let your soul be in the wait before God. Now I'm not talking about works again. I'm talking about the life that you live. Is the life you live worthy of this gospel? And if you have any need, any doubt, any fears, I just want you to raise your hands, not to me now, but to raise it to Jesus Christ saying, Lord, I need help with this. I need to know that I'm saved. I need to know that I have the Holy Ghost. And if Satan ever comes by again, you put the stake right here and say, Lord, I'm willing to surrender myself to you tonight. Look, I don't want to rush an altar call. If there's somebody that wants to give their heart to God, let's do it right now. Just get it all settled right now. Put yourself in that category of perfect rest. If you have it, now which I believe by the faith of God, you can have that perfect assurance right now. And those of you that do, isn't he just worthy of all praise and all honor and glory? Thank you, blessed Father. If you have any need, lift it up to him now. We pray together. You pray in your own way. It's okay if somebody else hears you. It's not a big deal. You pray to him like it's just you and him in a room. And if you have a need, he said, ask abundantly that your joys may be full. Don't leave this service with one need. Don't leave this service with one doubt. Heavenly Father, we've preached your word tonight, Lord. I believe that because you work in your children the same as you did when you were here, Father. We love you. We appreciate you. I thank you for your precious promises, Lord. I thank you for taking care of us when we wouldn't even take care of ourselves. And I just pray, Father, that, Lord, there's nothing a man can do, but it takes you to work on both ends. If there's anything wrong in the hearts of the people, may you just set everyone free this night. Father, may we be able to walk tomorrow in such a Christian victory, if there is a tomorrow, Lord, knowing that you could come tonight. Oh, may it be that urgent in our heart that this thing is right here upon us. We know it must be this way, Father. Let the bride rise up out of our hearts, the bride of Christ alive in His people. Father, we commit it to You, Lord. I've done all I know how to do. May You have Your way. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen, amen. If you have a need, I'm willing to pray with you. You can come forward. We can settle up before the Lord right now. If you don't, we're going to just sing. Give God some praise. I want to sing what Dad's singing right now. Which song? If you got your book and you want to use it. Rich and free, that precious blood that covers me. He wasn't looking at me.
227.
When He took me in.
He was typing at my heart. My parents are out there, so they don't want us to come in and visit them right now because they don't want anybody to catch them. So they just want prayer to protect them from getting
it. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand like you're them right now. And you're not coming to me, you're coming to Lord Jesus. And he promised to hear you.
Yes.
Amen. It's pretty good. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just bring our sisters, parents, Lord, that this flu is coming around, Lord, and especially at the age, it can be very dangerous. But Lord, You've given us such an atonement that, Lord, we believe You. We believe what You said. You died for the sickness of the world. We just pray for the protecting angels around them, Father. You keep this sickness away. You might receive glory. We commit it to You, Lord. We settle it right now. We put the post down right here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
And free, oh yes, that precious blood that covers me. He wasn't looking at me. Oh, aren't You grateful? Hallelujah, Lord. Thank You for the blood, Father. Hey, give Him praise now.
He wasn't looking at my heart. That was black by sin. He was looking at the blood, flowing rich and free. That precious blood that covers me. He wasn't looking at me. Looking at me when He took me in. He wasn't looking at my heart.